Good morning, and welcome to our Linwood URC Live Facebook event. We're going to get started in just a moment here. If you wanted to grab your Bible, I'm going to be reading from the ESV version, and also we're going to be singing a song together, and the song selection is going to be out of the Trinity Psalter Hymnal, but also if you have the old blue Psalter Hymnal, I'll be giving you that number as well. So we're going to get started here in just a moment, and I've asked a member of our church to put the songs in our comment section so you can use that as well. Again, welcome to our morning worship service, our morning worship here, March 22. It's good to have you all here. I see some members of our church are already logging on here, so we're going to get started together. So let's begin our time together with a time of prayer. Let's pray together. Our Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have made, and we thank you for the privilege that we have of being your people. And we do pray, Lord, that as we spend some time together as a congregation, although we are apart in distance, we are united in heart and in faith. And we do thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have of approaching your throne of grace with the confidence of children. And we do pray that in this time of meditating upon your word, and as we look at the passage of scripture that you have set before us, that it would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight as we consider your authority, your greatness, and your power. We do pray, Lord, for the members of our church that are apart from us, that we are separated. We do pray, Lord, that we would continue to be fed and nourished, that we would grow in grace and knowledge of the truth today, and that as we rest on this Lord's Day, your name would be glorified, and we as your people would be edified. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's start with reading, and if you have your Bibles, I encourage you children to read along as well. I'm going to be reading from 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading verses 13 through 17. So 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to be reading verses 13 through 17. 1 Peter chapter 2. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to the governor as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor. Let's now turn for our first singing together. Our first song is going to be found in the Trinity Psalter Hymnal. It's page 544, number 544, Lead On, O King Eternal. But if you have the old blue Psalter Hymnal handy, that's going to be found on page 484. So it's blue 484. But on the Red Trinity, it's 544. So 544 in the red and 484 in the blue. Lead on, O King Eternal. There's three stanzas. Lead on, O King Eternal. Three stanzas. Let's sing together.
Lead on, O King Eternal. The day of March has come. Henceforth in fields of conquest, thy tents shall be our home. Through days of preparation, thy grace has made us strong. And now, O King Eternal, we lift our battle song. Lead on, O King Eternal, till sin's fierce war shall cease, and holiness shall whisper the sweet amen of peace. For not with sword's loud clashing, nor roll of stirring drums, the deeds of love and mercy, the heavenly kingdom comes. Lead on, O King Eternal, we follow not with fears. For gladness breaks like morning where'er thy face appears. Thy cross is lifted o'er us, we journey in its light. The crown awaits the conquest, lead on, O God of might.
Sit down. Thank you, everybody. We're going to read our text. Is going to be found from Luke chapter 20. We're going to continue our series as a congregation, going through Luke together. Luke chapter 20. If you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles for our reading from Luke chapter 20, and as a congregation, we've come to verse 19, which is a section entitled "Paying Taxes to Caesar." So, Luke chapter 20. We will be reading verses 19 through 26. Again, I'll be reading from the ESV. Luke chapter 20, starting at verse 19. The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them. But they feared the people. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be sincere, that they might catch him in something he said, so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor. So they asked him, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach rightly and show no partiality, but truly teach the way of God. Is it lawful for us to give tribute to Caesar or not?" But he perceived their craftiness and said to them, "Show me a denarius. Whose likeness and inscription does it have?" They said, "Caesar's." He said to them, "Then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were not able, in the presence of the people, to catch him in what he said. But marveling at his answer, they became silent. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, after having read your word, we do thank you for the beauty of that word, and we submit ourselves to it, O Lord. We do pray that you would impress these words upon us by your Spirit and help us to have ears that listen, that we would have eyes that see, and that you would speak to us and we, your servants, would heed the voice of Christ, our Good Shepherd. In his name we pray. Amen. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we are going to consider the proper response to the authority that is present in this world. We're continuing our series through Luke chapter 20, and as we've seen over the past few weeks, there are these increasing waves of persecution and opposition that Christ has been experiencing. There has been a rejection of Christ specifically as the perfect prophet, priest, and king, and the people have chosen to go their own way, and the leaders, specifically the leaders, have rebelled against Christ, and they are now plotting to catch him. You will see, if you have your Bibles open here, that there are three specific questions, or three times that his opponents come to him with questions, as found in verse 2, verse 21, and then in verse 28, which we will look at next week, Lord willing. These different questions are raised, and they're designed to challenge the authority of Jesus Christ. Who do you think that you are, that you can teach, that you can ride into Jerusalem on top of the donkey, that you can be clearing out the temple and the teaching in the temple area? So the question before us in this hour is, what is the proper response to governing authority? Where does authority come from? And who has the right to demand submission? Although authority is found in different areas, today we're going to be dealing specifically with the authority of men found in the civic realm. And the authority of God is here going to be found in the words of Jesus Christ. So does submission to one source of authority cancel our obligation towards the other? In other words, in our submission to Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, does our submission to him mean that we no longer have an obligation towards our earthly rulers? And we're going to be looking at this theme this morning. Jesus Christ teaches us how to properly submit to those whom he has placed over us. In our first point, we are going to begin by looking at the insincere motivation when these scribes and Pharisees and chief priests come to Jesus. Now, I note that these religious rulers, these elders of the people, do not come to Jesus themselves. Rather, in verse 20, they send out spies. Now, we know in the sending out of these spies that these leaders have a wicked desire. We see that their desire in verse 19 is to lay their hands upon Jesus Christ. They want to catch Jesus in his words. They want to turn Jesus over to the governing authorities. They want to use the governing authorities to suppress Jesus and even put Jesus to death. So their desire is to trap Jesus and to have him killed. So they are keeping their eyes on him in verse 20. They're watching him constantly with suspicion. Now, you may know what this feels like. Perhaps sometime in your life you have been in a situation where you felt like you have been on the seat of people testing you and people challenging you. Whatever you say is used against you. Your words are twisted. Whatever you say is taken out of context. You don't find a ready reception for the words that you are speaking. And we find this with Jesus Christ here, that whatever he says is going to be twisted. They're going to try to catch Jesus in his words. They're not listening to Jesus Christ. They're not submitting to him. They're not really coming to him looking for an instruction. They're only looking to trap Jesus Christ. So they send out spies. And here in the Greek, the word for spies is agathos, which means one who lies in wait. It's a pretender, one who is looking for an opportunity to trap Jesus. They're seeking to spread their nets and try to catch Jesus in their nets. And the specific work that they are doing is lying in wait. The word here is for lying in wait is hypocrimanio, which means like a hypocrite. They are an actor putting on a play. They have a mask. They're hiding their true intentions. They pretended to be interested. They're pretending to be good disciples here, but their hearts are incredibly deceitful. We still find this in our world today, where those who are followers of Satan, those who are opposed to Christ and the truth, continue to try to infiltrate the church. They are trying to catch the members of the church in their nets. We find this in China, for example, where the Chinese government encourages church members to spy on other church members to catch them in their nets of deceit. We found this also in Galatians 2, verse 4, where there were men, Paul says, who are secretly spying out our freedom so that they might bring us into slavery. So these spies are sent by the religious leaders of that day. They're trying to catch Jesus Christ. They're spreading their nets before Jesus Christ. They're acting like hypocrites. They're pretenders, trying to trap Jesus in his words. And the way that they begin to approach Jesus Christ is through a flattery. Now read with me, if you will, in your Bibles at verse 21, where we hear this. So these spies come to Jesus and they ask in verse 21, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach rightly and show no partiality, but truly teach the way of God. Is it lawful for us to give tribute to Caesar or not?" Now, looking at this incredibly thick flattery that these spies lay on Jesus Christ, you look at each one of these phrases. Teacher. Are they really coming to Jesus Christ and submitting to him as the perfect prophet, the teacher? And they said, "We know that you speak and teach rightly." Do they really believe that Jesus has the truth and has the right answers and shows no partiality, but that you truly teach the way of God? If you would take only one of these phrases by themselves, you would see that they're really trying to butter Jesus up. They are, as Psalm 62 verse 4 says, they're blessing with their mouth, but inwardly they are cursing. Do they really think that Jesus is teaching the way to God? Not at all. They're trying to trick Jesus. They're trying to get him to say something that they can use against him in the court of law. But as Jesus continues in verse 23, he knows their craftiness. Just before we move into our second point, We find that this is still a tactic that is used by deceivers today, a common tactic for those who are trying to catch other people in their web of deceit is to first flatter them, to say these incredibly kind and seemingly generous things about the people they're trying to trap. They're deceitful, and then they follow that flattery with trick questions. Remember that our context here in Luke 20 is all about authority. Who has the truth? Who has the right to be king? Whose law and rule holds sways? Whose words will be listened to and submitted to? To whom should we bow? Who is the one who has the true authority? So as we continue in our second point, we found in our first point that they were insincere, that they were not being truthful, they were not being faithful, but they were hypocrites, they were deceitful, they were spies, they were pretenders. But Jesus still hears and answers their question. And the question was raised back in verse 22, and the question is this: should we give a tribute to Caesar? Now, the word tribute here in our text is a toll that would be placed on persons or goods. Now, we know about taxes and tolls, don't we, congregation? Children, if you were traveling with your family and you're going down the interstates, most of the interstates here in the Chicago area, you will find these toll plazas. That's a place that you have to pay a toll. You may not even notice it. Your parents have an iPass, but as you pass underneath this toll plaza, you're charged, you know, maybe 85 cents or $1.50 every time you go down that road. You are paying a toll, and in paying that toll, you are purchasing the right, really, to travel on this stretch of road or interstate. And concerning our taxes, kids, you just have to ask your parents what they have to do before April 15. Most people have to pay their taxes and make sure that they are filed. But here these spies come to Jesus Christ, and they are saying to Jesus, should we pay the toll? Should we pay our taxes? Should we render to the Roman government the things that they are asking of us or not? But in asking this question, they're asking it with a deceitful intent. Because when they are asking it, they are trying to trap Jesus. And the way they're trying to trap Jesus is this: if Jesus says yes, yes, you should pay your taxes. Yes, you should pay your tolls. Yes, you should pay to Caesar and to the Roman government what they're asking you. If Jesus says yes, then the people, the crowd, the common man, is going to be filled with anger, because the common man viewed the tribute as an attack on their nation, undermining their independence. They didn't like to pay taxes, as people today still don't like paying taxes. So if Jesus says yes, Jesus is going to lose credibility with the common man. But if Jesus says no, you don't have to pay your taxes, no, you should not pay the toll or the tribute to the Roman government, then these spies will have ammunition to use against Jesus Christ. They're going to go to the Roman guard and accuse Jesus of inciting a riot against Rome or rejecting the Roman rule. So either way Jesus answers, if he says, yes, you need to pay your taxes, or no, you don't need to pay your taxes, either way, Jesus is going to be put into a difficult position. He's between really a rock and a hard place. But Jesus masterfully sees the intention of these men, and he points to the true source of authority. So Jesus says to these spies, to these deceitful men in verse 24, he says to them, show me a denarius. And whose likeness and inscription does this denarius have on? Now, the denarius would be a solid coin that would have the imprint of the Caesar pressed upon it, and his image and inscription, his motto, placed upon it. And here Jesus says, in answering the question, looking at this denarius, whose image, whose inscription is upon it? And the image determines the sphere of authority. You need to render to those in authority what they deserve. Give to them what is their due. Let me try to illustrate this for you, children. If you were to take a dollar bill out of out of your pocket, or your parents would hand you a dollar bill, and you'd look at that dollar bill, you would likely see the face of a president. And looking at the face of a president and the motto and seal of the United States government, it would be an indication of where this dollar came from and in which sphere it finds its use. If after all of this quarantine passes and you can go out to the stores again and you go to the dollar store and you want to buy a toy and you have this dollar bill in your hand and you hand it to the cashier is going to see this dollar bill and say, okay, you are using a proper currency because you are in the realm, in the states, in the sphere of the United States. But let's say, for example, you would go to the dollar store and you would use a Canadian dollar bill. Now, the Canadian dollar bill is a similar size, similar shape, but it has different coloring and it has different pictures and a different motto. If you would take that Canadian dollar bill and hand it to the cashier, the cashier would likely look at it with a question, with uncertainty. They would be confused. They'd say, you can't use this here. This doesn't hold weight here because you are not in the sphere, you're not in the realm of the Canadian government. Well, we could apply this to our text because Jesus is here using the seal, the imprint, the image to teach us on the realm, on the sphere of authority. And which sphere of authority you find yourself under teaches you your responsibility to that sphere. So for these, the Jewish Israelites living during the day and age of Jesus Christ, they were living under the realm of Rome. Living under the realm of Rome meant that they had Roman currency, and you needed to give to the Roman government what their due was. We currently live in the United States. We live under the realm, the governing authority of the federal and state and local government. And we are called to give to our government their due as well. Now, we're going to be looking at this more in depth when we come to Belgic Confession, Article 36. So God has cast our lot in this fair land. Jesus and his followers living under the Roman rule were called to recognize those whom God has placed over them. Jesus does not cast off the yoke of the Roman government, but rather says, you are under the yoke, you are under the responsibility, and therefore you must give your due. This word render to them is a it holds in this in its image the desired or the deserved response. Give them their due. They deserve this. And now, since we live in the realm of the United States, what is our due? What are we called to give? How do we, as Christians, give to Caesar what is Caesar's? Well, earlier we read from 1 Peter chapter 2, where Peter says, be subject to every human institution. Honor those whom God has placed over you. So as a Christian, this means we are to acknowledge, we are to submit to God in the fact that he has placed over us a human institution. So we have governors, we have mayors, we have a federal government, and we are called to acknowledge them as God-ordained leaders. And as God-ordained leaders, we find ourselves under their realm, under their rule, and we are called to respond properly to that God-given authority. This means, to apply this, that we are called to file our taxes. We are called to honor and obey our leaders in all things lawful. We can even see that as a very pressing illustration right now. We have submitted to the call of our governor to remain home, to quarantine ourselves, to isolate ourselves, because this was what they asked upon us, and we have submitted to that. But this acknowledgement and submission to those whom God has placed over us on the human level is not absolute. Because if our government would forbid the preaching of God's word, we must act in accordance with Acts chapter 5, where we are to obey God rather than men. So we are living in this strange situation right now where we are trying to submit to our human government and yet continue to submit to God and His Word in hearing the preaching in this given means in which we are using right now. So, and to back up just a moment, the image on our currency reveals the realm in which we live. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He says, not only do you look at your currency and see which realm you find yourself in, you must also, as verse 25 continues, render to God what is God's. Give God what He deserves. Here again, we find that the image determines the authority. Although the Roman coin, the denarius, proves the authority of Caesar and the right that Caesar has to the submission and obedience of her citizens, the citizens of Rome, and although the U.S. dollar proves to us, shows us that we are to submit and obey and pay our taxes to the governing authorities God has placed over us, there is a greater sphere of authority that needs to be acknowledged. Remember, as I said, the image determines the sphere of authority. Thinking back to Genesis chapter 1, we know that mankind was made in the image of God. Being made in the image of God means that we are made in His likeness. We could put it this way, children. If we were coins, the image pressed upon us would be the image of our Maker. We would bear the likeness of God who made us in His image. So yes, our money, our paper money, and our coins have the currency of this world and the image of a president. We, as human beings, bear the image of God. And since we bear the image of God, we are made in the image of God, we are struck in His mold, we therefore are called to acknowledge the authority of the one who made us and whose image we bear. We bear the mark. Therefore, we are to use everything God has given to us in a way that reflects His design and desire. Lord's Day 1 puts it this way. I belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins. He has ransomed me from slavery to the devil. Or 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. So glorify God in your body. So we were created in the image of God, and we bear His mark. And we were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Being purchased, we belong to our God and Savior. And since we belong to Him, we must see our responsibility is to submit to His authority. Since we are image bearers, and we have been purchased by Christ, we are to, as verse 25 says, render to God the things that are God. Yes, it's true that our government has rights to demand taxes from us. But it's also true that God has the right to demand everything from us. What do we have that's our own? What have we in our hands that we have not received from God? What is the sphere of Jesus' authority? What does that cover? He is Lord of lords and King of kings. His sphere covers everything. So your time, your abilities, your life, your breath, even your use of money all fall under the realm of God and His authority. Rendering to God the things that are God's means that we are living our lives as a sacrifice, offering ourselves, offering our being to God. If God has ordained earthly rulers, and if these rulers serve under and at the pleasure of God, then even if we live under these earthly realms, under the states, and if these rulers serve under and at the pleasure of God, we are called to give our ultimate and unquestioned allegiance to God because our earthly rulers are even under Him, who has the final and absolute authority. Not the scribes, not the elders of the people here in Israel, not Pilate or Herod, not even Caesar, but Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. All power, all authority has been given to me, Jesus Christ said. And as we read earlier in 1 Peter 2, we are to live as servants of God and therefore fear God. If our earthly rulers deserve honor, obedience, and respect, because God has placed them over us. If that is true, how much more true, isn't it, that if God has set his Son Jesus Christ on the throne, over ruling over all things being placed in subjection to him, all things being his enemies being put under his feet, how much more don't we owe to Jesus Christ our allegiance and obedience? What does God deserve? God deserves our all, our everything, our honor, our praise, our adoration. We seek to give him what he deserves this day. To conclude, being devoted to God does not mean that we no longer have responsibilities towards our earthly leaders. Because we are devoted to God, because we acknowledge his reign over all, we acknowledge that he has placed human leaders over us for our good. So when it comes to responding to our earthly leaders, we pay our taxes, we submit in all things lawful, and we even refuse to ridicule, even if we disagree, we don't ridicule them, we don't poke fun of them because of their God-given position. Yes, that's all true. But acknowledging that giving to Caesar what belongs to Caesar really comes under the umbrella of giving to God what is God's. We submit to those whom God has placed over us, but we submit to God as supreme. The fact is, we owe God all obedience and honor and praise and adoration. That is our due. God deserves it, and he demands it. We are citizens of heaven, yes and amen. But for the time being, we are also citizens of the country in which God has cast our lot. So as we look to the days and weeks to come, it's very difficult for us to live in this hard, strange, unique time when we are called to submit to our governing authorities, and our governing authorities are telling us, don't gather together in large groups, stay at home. It's not easy to submit to those whom God has placed over us, but God calls us to submit and to obey in all things lawful. But in obeying those whom God has placed over us, we acknowledge that this is part of obeying God. It's not choosing to obey one or choosing to obey the other, as Jesus says. We render to our human authorities what they deserve, and we render to God what he deserves. And what does God deserve? He deserves all praise, all adoration, all honor, and all glory, and all obedience. So let us honor our rulers, but honor and obey Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords above all. Amen. We now are going to spend some time together in prayer. And before we go into our congregational prayer, I received a phone call this morning that Virginia Hofflinger had a possible stroke this past week. So she is on hospice care. So do please pray for the Hofflinger family and the Clausing family during this time. And we pray for God's strength and comfort as it appears Virginia draws near to the end of her earthly journey. So let's come to our Lord together in prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank you for who you are. We stand in awe of your greatness and your praise. And we submit ourselves to you. O Lord, we know how difficult it is for us as human beings to submit. We do not want to submit to those whom you have placed over us. We are prone by nature to rebel. We are prone by nature to do what is right in our own eyes. We are prone to want to go our own way, to do what we want to do and not what others tell us to do. But we do pray, Lord, that in this day we would submit to our governing authorities, that you would give us hearts of patience as we look to you. We do pray, Lord, that at the appointed time you would bring to an end this time of self-quarantine, that we would be able to gather together with God's people again. We long eagerly for that time, O Lord. Keep us patient and faithful and humble until then. We do pray for our governing authorities. We pray for our president, that he would be given the wisdom that he needs, that good and godly laws would be upheld and established in this land. We pray for our governor. We pray for the mayor of Chicago. We do pray, Lord, that you would give to these your servants what they stand in need of. We pray that you give them wisdom. We pray that you would give them insight. We do pray, Lord, that you would take away this scourge from us, that you would place your hand of mercy and healing and restoration upon those in our nation that are suffering with this sickness. We pray particularly for our health workers. We think, Lord, of those who work at the various clinics, those who work at the hospital, and the various areas of working with the elderly as well. We pray, Lord, that you would protect them and those who work with those who have special needs. We do pray, Lord, that you would keep them from this sickness, that you would sustain them, that you would uphold them, that they would be able to do the work that they are called to do. And we do pray, Lord, that you would give to them all that they stand in need of. We do thank you, O Lord, for the blessings that we have of being a part of your church. We pray that although as a time we are not able to gather together as a church in corporate unity, we do pray, O Lord, that you would keep us molded and glued together in the spirit of unity and peace. And we do thank you, O Lord, for the blessings that we have to open your word and to hear that word explained in our hearing today. We do pray, Lord, for Aaron Vanderheiden as he's traveling back to Canada. We pray for the Vanderheiden family that you would keep them safe, and particularly as Carissa and Aaron expect their little baby in a few weeks from now, we do pray that this child would be born healthy. We pray for the expectant mothers in our church that you'd give them calm and quiet hearts, and that these little children would be brought forth in health and strength. We, O Lord, pray for those who stand in need of strength. Our heart goes out to the Hofflinger family and the Clousing family during this time. We pray for Virginia that you would bring her to the end and goal of her faith, even the salvation of her soul, that you would continue to give her the comfort that she stands in need of as she is now in hospice care. We pray that she would not be in pain, but that she would continue to be brought safely into your eternal home. We pray also for our sister Sandy. We do pray for her physicians. We pray that the way of treatment would be made evident and plain to the Zylstra family. We do pray, O Lord, that you would bring speedy and complete healing and restoration according to Sandy, according to your sovereign will. We do pray that you would give to her all that she stands in need of, and that you would strengthen her, that you'd give, that you'd make plain your way forward for her and for her family. We do pray a prayer of thanksgiving for the recovery that Janet and Bev have received. We do pray that you would sustain them as well, that you'd grant to them what they stand in need of as they continue to look to your hand, and Dave Bunema as well. We pray that the treatment he is receiving would have a good effect upon the cancer that he has as well. We, O Lord, thank you for the blessings of prayer. And we do pray for the saints within our community as well, not only the members of our church, but the members of all of the churches here in the United States, as many of these churches are not able to gather together. We pray, Lord, that the church would continue to be kept strong, that she would be kept free from false teaching. We do pray, Lord, that as we look at the situation of our country, we do pray, Lord, that there would be a turning away from sin, that there would be a turning to you, that there would be an acknowledgement of our need for something more, something lasting, and that our lives are short. We live but a few short years, and then comes a judgment. So we do pray, Lord, that we would be mindful of our brevity, and that we would acknowledge your greatness and your grace. Oh, Lord, forgive us now of our sins. Forgive us when we fail. We acknowledge that we have fallen short of your glory. Even in this past week, we have not done the things we ought to do, and we have failed to do the good that was set before us, and rather we have done things that we shouldn't have done. We pray for patience. Particularly, I pray for patience of the mothers within our church that have their children home from school. We pray that you give them patience as they are now taking on the added task of being teachers in the home. We pray that you would equip them, O Lord, that you would sustain them. We pray for our students as they are not able to go to school. We pray that they would continue to learn, that they would continue to develop, not only academically, but spiritually. We pray, Lord, that we would all grow in holiness and grow in the image of Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. Let's close our time together by singing of the doxology. We'll sing, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." Let's sing together.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Well, thank you for being with us in our time of meditating on God's Word. I hope to see you all back again this evening. We are going to be having our 5 p.m. Service on the same platform. So if you'd like to join us at 5 p.m. tonight, we're going to be reading from James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. If you wanted to read that as a family this afternoon, that's James chapter 4, verse 13 through 17. And have a blessed Lord's Day.